put on my heart to sing this. If you haven't heard it, I hadn't heard it till a few days ago because the Lord just gave it to me. So it's been what we've been preaching here on Wednesdays, probably will for a long, long while here. And once we get the chorus, go ahead and sing along as we do this. I don't have me on, do I? Is that a little bit better? Do you hear me a little bit better? Is that louder? All right. It's by faith that I believe. It's by faith that I receive. It's by faith I'll overcome. It's by faith I'll see the sun. The Lord, He spoke, and it came to be. Praise His name. Let's stand together tonight. How many believes that?
Yes.
Amen. Well, If you don't, we'll prove it one more time tonight. Is that all right? That's only by faith that any of this is possible. Let's leave that off, I suppose. Hebrews 11. If you have your Bibles, let's turn there. Hebrews 11. I'm in Revelation. No wonder I don't recognize this. Hebrews chapter 11. We'll start at verse 1 again. Everybody there?
Amen.
Thank you. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. I like to preach tonight, by faith, Abel. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for assembling us here. Each soul that's here we know was predestinated before the foundation of the world to stand in this place, Lord. And I pray you'd help us to do what the Scripture told us to do, and that's to redeem the time, knowing that the days are evil and the time is short, Father. May we treat this service as if this is it, Lord, and that tomorrow we'll wake up and it'll all be done, Lord. May we know that we've done everything we can to serve you with all our hearts. And not because we had to, but Lord, we just love you that much. Help us, Father God, we pray. If there be one need of healing in this place, I pray that this service would change that, Lord. And they would walk out without a need of healing, but possessing healing, Lord. If there's anyone here that needs salvation, I pray that this service, Lord, you'd be able to pour out your love to that person, and they might realize that you're still trying to save souls in this last day. If there's anyone here that needs the Holy Ghost, Lord, I pray that they would open up, knowing that you want to give the Holy Ghost more than anybody wants to receive it. May their hearts be wide open, Lord, and let you just fill every fiber. Every one of us that are Christians, Lord, that have been trying to serve you, Lord, that have been born again, I pray that this service would just charge us once again for battle, knowing that every day is a fight for the kingdom of God. Help us, Lord, to not worry about the things of the world right now, not to worry about work and our obligations, but Lord, let us give you all of our attention, Lord, that you might give all of your attention to us. We love you, Lord. We appreciate you. And we just commit this service, Lord. May you be glorified in everything said or done. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated tonight. Dad, if you can give me some water when you get back, please. That'll be great. And before I forget, I forgot to announce this. I was singing that song next Thursday, not tomorrow, but the following Thursday we'll have Brother Samson here. I'm sure he'll appreciate anybody who wants to come out and listen. He's a great brother. He's from India. I met him last year and I just fell in love with him, and he made it happen pretty much. He's preaching Wednesday in Michigan, and then on Sunday he's going to be over in Illinois, and he said, well, I can sneak in a Thursday if you want to have me. And I said, well, we'll open the doors for you. So come out and support him. I believe that'll be a good time in the Lord. Sunday following that, Brother Alexander will be preaching for us. I just arranged that here recently, or I would have announced it earlier. So I apologize for the later notice than normal, but Sunday after that will be Brother Alexander. Amen. Now, as we approach this subject, as we have time for a little while now about faith and what faith really is, I think it's good to go back and to make sure that we understand what faith is. First, the Bible does not say that faith is just something in your head. It's not something that you're just coming up with. Faith is a substance. Yeah. Faith is something as real as this water bottle I'm holding right here, and it's actually more real than this. Because this has just, if you can just think of this for a minute, this thing is made out of atoms. Is that right? It's made out of little molecules, but what's in between those? We don't know. And what's in between the molecules of oxygen and things like, it's just, we don't know. It's just nothing. But faith is more than that. It's all real. You understand? There's more air to this than what's substance, but faith is the substance of all things that's ever been hoped for.
Yeah.
And I like how the Bible says that. Y'all praying for my voice, is that all right? Once in a while, the preacher needs a little prayer. I ain't trying to struggle. I ain't trying to feel like I'm going to, what's that call when your voice squeaks? Yeah, I feel like I'm 15 right now. Voice is squeaking every time I try to say something. Faith is a substance, and it's not only that. God didn't want you just to know that it exists. He wants you to know that it's an evidence. And an evidence is something that you bring to a court trial to prove a case.
And I'm so glad to know that we don't have to prove our own case, but God gave us the proof for the case.
Amen.
Our judge became our attorney, and he knew how to back us up to make sure we won the case. Devil ain't got a fighting chance to start off with, does he? This thing's been checkmate from the beginning. He didn't know it, but the judge standing back there, he thought, oh my, he has to judge that sinful creature down there. I saw what he did last week, but he missed something that was written in the Word. The blood of Christ would come. The seed of a woman would smash the seed of the serpent. And it would send all the sons and daughters free.
Yes.
Aren't you glad to be a benefactor of the blood of Jesus Christ? And knowing that you're not just hoping you are saved, but you have met salvation.
Yes.
That no matter what comes, no matter what I do tomorrow, I could backslide, I could do all kinds of mistakes. I didn't save myself. The grace of God saved me, and I'm saved by Jesus Christ alone.
That's right.
I'm not saved by any preacher. I'm not saved by any person. I ain't saved by any church affiliation. I'm not saved because I'm a pastor. I'm not saved because I was a deacon. I'm not saved because I adhere to this message. I'm saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
Not the grace of God that people make disgrace where they just do whatever they want. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the true, genuine grace of God. And if you meet the grace of God, you will love Him with all your heart.
Amen.
There's no way to look at Him in the eyes of grace, seeing Him on the cross dying, and know that it was your fault He's there, and that you accept what He's done and walk out the same person. You're a liar. You've never met Calvary yet. The only way you looked at Calvary was maybe how those centurions were that day, where it was just another day on the job, wasn't it, for them? Just crucifying another guy, no big deal, right? Let's just throw him on there. Come on, I got to get home. I gotta get the dishes done tonight. I got to worry about my job tomorrow. I'm sure that's all they were thinking about.
Come on.
You see, how is that? Remember, they were rolling dice for his garments. They didn't know who that was. By the time one of them figured it out, guess what it was? It's too late.
Yeah.
Remember, he had died. He gave up the ghost. And then there was an earthquake and the temple rent. The world began to get birth pains.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And what happened? Then all of a sudden he went, surely that's the Son of God.
Amen.
And as people have looked at this message, they've ridiculed it. They've made fun of it. They said that Brother Branham's this, Brother Branham's that. They said that us, we're crazy because our women don't cut their hair. And we don't watch TV 24 hours a day like the rest of the world. You know, that's living the life, right? Right here, guys. And this is all they do. They don't even stick on a channel, do you? Because it's boring. It's just draining the life, right? And that's exactly what Satan did it for.
Yeah.
He did it to drain you and to just distract you, that you would think you're okay when you're heading straight to hell.
Wow. Yes.
Hallelujah. I don't know why I went that route, but I hope that's all right. But they'll look at this word and they'll make fun of it. They'll call it this or that. But one day, when this tribulation begins to set in, they begin to look around. Look, we're getting pictures of what tribulation is going to look like. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
Did anybody watch some of that Black Friday stuff that happened? Where people got trampled, people got guns pulled out on them, people got beat by police and each other and all kinds of things for stuff they don't need.
Right.
For some TVs or some new video game or whatever. What happens when they need food?
Right.
And they're all starving. What do you think it's going to look like then? Yeah, now you see what the tribulation is going to look like. You're going to be afraid to walk out of the street. You're going to be afraid sitting in your own house, knowing that if one person knows you have some food in there, they're going to raid it and kill you.
That's right.
That's what the tribulation is going to be like. Look, I don't want to be no foolish virgin. I don't care if I'm saved in the end. I don't want nothing to do with the tribulation period.
Right.
Brother Branham said, cut me open, set me on fire, fill me with sulfur. Don't let me go through the tribulation period.
Amen.
And then on top of that, you're getting out of the frying pan, heading into the kettle, aren't you? Because after the tribulation, you go to the white throne.
Right.
You stand before a God that knows everything you've ever thought, everything you've ever done, any desire you've ever had in your heart. And what kind of man or woman that's honest with himself would say they got enough bravery to walk into that holy presence knowing what you've done?
Right.
You think you deserve to be in that presence? Absolutely not. That's why we're saved by grace.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's never anything else. And don't you get all legalistic about it either. You ain't saved because you do something. You ain't saved because you don't do something. You are saved purely by what Jesus Christ did and your faith in what He did.
Yes.
And not that you just said it, but that faith was a substance and it produced something within you.
Amen.
A new life.
Yeah.
Born from above to where that life that you now live is not by your own works, it's not by your own merit, it's by the faith of the Son of God.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, truly the same yesterday, right here, in my heart, in your heart, today, and forever.
Yes.
Message of the hour right there. You understand faith tonight? God went through, look, He didn't make it to where we had to do something He didn't do. He created everything by faith. He didn't just use some raw power and just be like, okay, there's a world, I'm just going to create it. He just said, let there be. And that word produced itself. God wants us to do the same thing. Just take His word by faith and say it. I don't care if it doesn't happen tomorrow. I don't care if it doesn't happen for 100 years. If it's true faith and it's the true word of God, nothing can stop it.
Amen.
When God spoke that there would be a world, as Brother Branham said, we don't know. It could have been a million years before it got here. But it got here.
Amen. Yes.
And it's the same with looking for the rapture. It's the thing. People, all the coming of the Lord, we've been preaching that for years and years and years. But look, one of these days, it will be here. And as we know, especially from knowing the message hour, that could be tonight.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's long overdue. I happen to believe I know why. The Lord's still waiting around.
Amen.
Right here. Mm-hmm. Lord, help me to not hold back the rapture.
That's right.
And not only just for your own salvation, but maybe you are the one who was supposed to testify to this person that's the elect of God, and you were too ashamed to do it that time. And God's got to wait until you reap for that and then come back around and then send you back over there again. Do it again. Bring that soul in like you're supposed to be. Is that all right? What's Christian? How do you know you're a real Christian? What did Jesus say? All men would know you're my disciples. You have love one for another. You love the others. You love the brethren. You love the sinner more than you do yourself. That's when you'll prove if you're a real Christian or not. It doesn't matter if you pray for the sick and that they get well, even though that's a sign of a believer. You better have that as well. But if you can't love your most vilest enemy, it's time to go back to Calvary. Something ain't happened yet.
Yep.
I know that ain't fancy preaching. I know that ain't what's jumping around the aisles. But look, if you're lying to yourself, you're lying to yourself. Jesus didn't give us any middle ground for this. You either love your enemy as yourself or you don't have His life. And He proved it, didn't He? Jesus didn't just say that. He proved it. To where He could go all the way to the cross and look at people that He knew what they were. What did He say? Father, forgive them.
That is right.
They know not what they do. And you can trail all the way back that that was God, because look at God, and we'll get to that here in a minute. We're going to go back to Genesis. Look at God back in Genesis when Cain had slew his brother. What happened? God came to him, still trying to pour out His love to Cain. And what was the problem? Not God's love not coming. Cain didn't want to receive it. Cain cut God off. Verse 4. Let's read that one more time. Hebrews 11:4. And we'll get right into this. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. What I'd like to do, if that's all right, can we go back in the book of Genesis and figure out where did Adam, Abel, and Cain even come from in the first place? Church, let's turn back there tonight. I'm going to teach for a little while. If that's all right, you stay with me, please. You might know all this, but I pray that you'll get a revelation you didn't before. Genesis chapter 3. Excuse me. Genesis chapter 3. Verse 6. Before this, the first five verses, we know that Satan came to Eve and talked her into partaking of the tree of good and evil. And here's what happened. This is what tempted Eve into taking it. Verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and we can go back in a second, every tree is described that way. Pleasant to the eyes and it's good for food. But there's one more thing about this tree that wasn't mentioned about any other tree. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. And if that was apples, I tell you what, it's time to go to the high school and pass out some apples because we need some wisdom somewhere because I can't find it. To make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them were both opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Again, I ask the question, if apples, eating an apple will tell you that you're naked, I think it's time to pass apples out again in Laodicea 2013, because people walk around naked all the time and don't know it.
That's right.
Thinking they got clothes on and all they got is underwear.
Uh-huh.
It's the truth nonetheless, and we laugh because you know it's truth, but it's so sickening. God said it's an abomination to my eyes.
Right.
You want to know what an abomination is? Take garbage that's been sitting out for weeks and weeks and weeks and it's got maggots in it starting to mold all over the place, and they go rub your face right in it. That's what God thinks of this Laodicean age.
Amen.
And as sons and daughters of God, look, I understand from a distance, as Eve looked at this thing from a distance, it looked pleasing.
Sure.
But if you partake of it and let it get into your system, you realize it's poison in the cup.
Amen.
It'll kill you in no time. Satan's bluff, Satan's reasoning, Satan's his TV and media and all these things. Look, that stuff will destroy your experience with God.
Amen.
It ain't time to feed on that. It's time to stay in the Word of God. It's time to stay in prayer with God. It's time to stay out of the world and in faith.
Amen.
Living in the presence of God.
Wow.
Remember, we're not supposed to get in the presence of the God and then come out and then go back in and then come back out. Look, you're supposed to be in there sealed off and can't get out anymore.
Amen.
That's the Christian experience. And if you're living in a different environment, you are living below your privileges.
Amen.
Right. I ain't trying to de-Christianize anybody. That's just the truth of the matter.
Amen.
God is not mocked. It don't matter how much Holy Ghost you have. If you do sin, you will reap sin.
Amen.
If you sow unbelief, you reap unbelief. And you better not whine about it, because that's just more unbelief.
Amen.
What made God more mad than anything in the book of Exodus when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt? What made him more upset than anything is their whining and murmuring and complaining. And I tell you what, and here in Laodicea, I ain't never heard so much whining and complaining about a bunch of nothing in my life.
Right.
Sure.
High schoolers come and tell me, I'm tired. You don't even know what tired is. Boy, you don't have any kids. You don't have any responsibility. You come here for 6 hours and go home. What do you mean you're tired? When we were their age, and you know, go back. Go back when you were there. We go outside. And we didn't get home and sit on the couch and play video games. We went outside and did something.
That's right.
We didn't whine about being tired. We knew we had to get up and go to school. You get over it.
Yep.
Not anymore. It's people's rights. Isn't that what Laodicea means?
Yeah.
People's rights. I have a right. If I want to be a lady... lazy, filthy pig, I'm going to learn how to be a lazy, filthy pig, and I should get all A's at school.
Right.
Because
yeah.
I'm entitled to it. You ain't entitled to nothing in this world. We brought nothing in this world, and it's sure we ain't taking nothing with us.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Turn back for a second, please. Let me find it real quick here. I lost it. Genesis 2:17. Actually, let's read 16 and 17. Look what God says to them. Excuse me. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat, freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. There's one more there, and I just forgot where that's at. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Okay, verse 9. Go to verse 9, then we'll come right back to that. Look at verse 9. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. And then there's this change of thought. There's an end of a sentence. There's a semicolon there. Then something else is brought forth. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So God right there, before he even brings this, he is separating those two trees from all the rest of them. He's saying there's something different about these ones than all the rest of them. When he commanded the man... he didn't even talk about the tree of life just yet, did he? Because he didn't have to, because man was already partaking from the tree of life. That's why he wasn't aging. That's why he wasn't getting older. He was already partaking of that, so God didn't worry about that just yet. He said, look at all those other trees, good for food. Hey, you go ahead and eat all those. You can have all the apples, all the pomegranates, all the whatever you want. But there's one in there, don't touch it. It's that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now let's break this up. Go to the tree of life for a minute. What's supposed to happen when you eat the tree of life? You're supposed to live forever.
Right.
Yeah.
Jesus said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you.
Right.
So are we going to be a bunch of carnal people that thinks we really need to find the body of Jesus Christ and go get us a couple slices off of his flesh and eat it and find some of his blood and drink it down, and that's how we get eternal life? Do you know that's what they thought the early Christians believed? Look, being a Christian ain't glamorous, because we understand the world don't understand you, and they're going to come up with all kinds of nonsense. That's what they thought of those early Christians. No wonder they went around and killed them all. They thought they were a bunch of vampires.
Right.
And you go through the Dark Ages. I heard a man just say this once. We think, oh my, all those wonderful heroes of faith, how they just gave their lives freely. Do you understand what the world thought they were? They thought they were criminals.
Right.
Yes. They thought they had done witchcraft. They thought those people deserved to die, and Jesus warned that that's what was going to happen. He said, they will kill you thinking they're doing God a service. Amen. They didn't go down in a blaze of glory.
Uh-uh.
To the world, it was a shameful way to end.
Right.
And so even to the crucifixion of our Lord, that was the most shameful death you could have had. We understand that for the conscience sake and for children, when we have a crucifix, we usually put a cloth on Christ, but that's not the truth. He was completely exposed. Beat, bruised, and hung up, shameful, as a criminal of the state. Deserved to die. And on top of that, look, who's the one who made sure he got up there? The Christians of the day.
That's right.
They're the ones that made sure Christ got up there. Because what had they done? They had followed the same error we'll get to. They were partaking of the wrong tree, of the wrong life. And it only can produce death because that's what God said. The day you eat, that day you die.
Amen.
You say, well, why didn't Adam and Eve die that physical day? Because the Bible is very plain. A day to the Lord is 1,000 years. And you show me one time a man lived over 1,000 years.
Sure.
It didn't happen. Give me a second here, please. But did you look? After the marriage supper of the Lamb, we come back to earth. What's that period of time called? The millennium. To prove that the curse had been taken away, because now man will live a whole day.
Right.
Amen. And not die. Aren't you looking forward to that time?
Yes, I am. Yeah.
Aren't you looking for the time where you can build a house and the government ain't going to come take it from you?
Right. Amen.
Isn't that? They were pretty happy about that. Now we can relate.
Right.
You think, oh, I'll pay it off and then it's mine. You realize, no, it ain't yours at all. They still have it.
Sure.
They yank it right underneath you anytime they want, kick you out and do this and that and whatever. Because what? Guess what? I'm sorry, I hate to break your feelings. They don't love you and I. They got a hard enough time loving themselves, much less anybody else.
Sure.
So God, when He set this garden up, now look, God did this on purpose. He allowed this to give man a choice. God had angels that were told, you must worship me.
Right.
And He already had angels that decided they weren't going to do that, and He cast them out of His presence. But there were still two-thirds there that said that they would worship Him. That didn't please God. That's not what He desired from the foundation of the world. He wanted somebody that loved Him. And isn't that the same as you and I? Man, we think us men, that'd be nice just to get a cookie-cutter wife, right? Get a wife out of a factory that just is a robot. We program it. It does what I want it to do. It tells me I love you every time I want to hear it. It knows exactly what I want at all times. And you know what? That's what's going on in this age, ain't it?
Sure.
People are getting machines, they're getting things, they're getting stuff that does everything they want to do at any time, but yet the suicide rate's higher than it's ever been.
Yeah.
The joy of life is the lowest it's ever been. Isn't that right? Why is that? Because we all know when you break it down, there's only one thing that matters in life, and that's love.
Right.
If there's no love, there's no purpose, is there?
Right.
Look, here's everything. You can have anything you want. I'll give you all the money you want, all the luxuries you want, but guess what? You have to live on an island by yourself. Does all that stuff mean a whole lot anymore?
Nope.
Doesn't mean anything. And don't let the devil get you on some rat race, making you think you need just one more thing of this, one more thing of the world here, one little bit better car, a little bit better house, a little bit better whatever. And God can bless us with those things, and we're grateful for it. But look, if you're just running on that old hamster wheel, the devil, he'll always get you one more hit. Always one more, always one more. Why do you think they got iPhone 2, iPhone 3, iPhone 4, and then it's 4S, and then it's 5, and then 5S, 5CDS, and 5Q5, 258? They're just going to keep up rolling out this stuff, and you can't hardly keep up with it. Why? Because it's the devil. It's coming off the wrong tree.
Amen.
From the beginning. As we just said, look, there can't be two forms of eternal life. If there was, what in the world was Jesus Christ doing, giving His body for a sacrifice? If the tree of life is not Jesus Christ, why didn't He just come down to earth to point us to it in the Middle East somewhere and say, hey guys, come on, let's go eat from the tree of life?
Sure, amen.
That ain't the picture. I hope you understand when you go to this Garden of Eden, there wasn't a big tree standing there that they knew was eternal life. There wasn't another tree standing there, both in the middle of the garden, that they knew would kill them. That's not the way it was. They said they were in the midst of the garden, which means they were both right in the middle. And you can't do that physically, can you? If I'm in the middle of this room, we can measure it out. If I was right there in the middle, I'd be the only one who could be there. Because
right.
Everybody else would be a little bit off. But if you go up a dimension, we could both be right in the middle.
Sure.
And that's exactly what it was. Satan and Jesus Christ were in the Garden of Eden.
Amen.
The Bible's very plain that Lucifer walked in Eden.
That's right.
And what did Jesus say? He said, Father, glorify me with the glory I had with you before the world was.
Amen.
That's right.
So they both were there. Jesus Christ was none other than the tree of life. How could he be the bread of life? How could he be eternal life if there was another source somewhere? He was that tree of life.
Amen.
And remember, what was Jesus Christ before he was flesh? He was the Word. And the Word was in the garden. Remember, it said that the voice of the Lord came down in the cool of the evening. Look, my voice, you can't see it. But look, the voice and the person are one and the same.
Amen.
When it says that the Word, that the voice of the Lord came and spoke, it was because he physically was there.
Right.
You could see him. He walked in the midst of the garden. Isn't that what you want tonight?
Sure.
Yeah.
Hope you didn't come to hear some fancy preaching, because I ain't got no voice for no fancy preaching right now. But in the cool of the evening, Jesus Christ said he'd be with us. So where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst.
Yes.
And that's what the message came to do, is to show that Mount Calvary not only restored us to just what we think is Pentecost, what Pentecost really was all the way back to the Garden of Eden.
Amen.
Yeah.
The condition that Adam and Eve lived in before the fall is what a Holy Ghost-filled Christian is to live in.
Amen.
You say, well, that's kind of hard, Laodicea. I understand if you're carnal and you think like that and trying to work yourself back up. But if you'll just let the Lord raise you into heavenly places, you realize that this old body has to give way to the Word of God. That you can bring this body into subjection to any promise of God's Word at any time you desire if you really believe God.
Amen.
When Jesus Christ defeated the devil, he didn't leave one squirming out of his foot. He got them all.
Amen.
Don't let him tell you that there's something he's going to have. You're just going to have to bear with this. You're going to have to do this for the rest of your life. And the devil's just got you all bound up and you just never really get delivered. The Bible says he heals us of all of our infirmities.
Yes. Amen.
And when God says all, he means it.
Sure.
Excuse me. So the two trees, I hope you understand again, they were separate from all the other trees. God knew what that tree of life was, so he had to have known what the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was. And I hope we're not too surprised that that was Satan himself. He was a tree, as we know the Bible describes men as trees, it describes people as trees. And they were both in the midst of the garden. Why did God allow that tree to be there? It's because, I'm fine. It's because man had to have a choice, or he could never demonstrate to God that he loved him.
Amen.
If man had to just serve God, God would never be able to feel what it's like to be loved. And since he is the source of all love, he knew what love was. He knew how to give love, but he didn't want just that. He wanted to receive love. Do you understand Amen. That when you love God, you are fulfilling the only need God ever had?
Amen.
Wow.
When he created Adam, he said it was all good, but one day he said it's not good that man shall dwell alone.
Amen.
Because God knew what it was like to where nothing was but you. And he didn't enjoy it.
Right.
But in his mind, in his heart, God had other people that he knew were coming. He knew that that desire, any desire God has, it must manifest. Right. Nothing can stop God's perfect. God does what he wants to.
Amen.
And as he looked at Adam, it's not good that he dwells alone. So as we know, he put Adam to sleep, pulled out a rib, and we know that that's a perfect type of Jesus Christ and his bride. It didn't come from some other makeup. It came from the same source.
Amen.
If you believe Jesus Christ to be the Word made flesh, God made Emmanuel, God with us.
Amen.
You must believe that you are the same in this age.
Amen.
To accept one is to accept the other, to deny one is to deny the other. Right. It goes hand in hand.
Sure.
If you can't call Adam Adam, don't call Eve Adam. You understand? If you can't call Eve Adam, because that's what she was, you can't call Adam Adam.
Right.
They were one and the same.
That's right.
It was an attribute of Adam that was pulled out so that man didn't have to dwell alone. Now he had a helpmeet. He had someone to love and to be loved back by. How many's glad you're God's lover?
Amen.
Hey, he's pretty good at loving us. Don't you wish we could just be a little bit better
Amen.
At loving him?
Yes.
right.
Lord, help us. And when there's a desire, I believe there's a deep out there. If there's a higher walk with God, you came here looking for a higher walk with God, leave with a higher walk with God.
Amen.
If you came here feeling like I don't love the Lord like I should be, leave here loving the Lord like you should be. You got to make this service personal to you right now. It must be you and Him, or you'll get nothing out of it.
Amen.
We are not here to show off. We aren't here to have a big hoorah on time. We are here to get closer to God.
Amen.
Right.
But what's the only thing that keeps man from God? And God knew this. It was sin. He knew it. That nothing keeps my children out of my presence but sin. Because God is a holy God. He cannot taint Himself. He is pure.
Amen.
So when sin comes in His presence, it must leave. And God didn't desire that. So He warned His children. He fortified them by all that they had need of. And that was His own word. And don't expect you and I that He has to give us some kind of evidence or some kind of happening or something or other. He gave us the word. It's good enough.
Amen.
Stay behind it. Satan can't do a thing to you.
All right. Right.
And if they just would have stuck behind that, and when Satan came and threw the serpent and gave that nice new doctrine, let's just bring it down to today. Is that all right? The nice fancy words, that nice things that made them feel good, that nice desire to have something a little bit more than what God had for them. Satan will do it to you and I, won't he? Well, you listen to this kind of music, but just come over here and listen to this. You know, a contemporary Christian song.
Sure.
And I ain't saying it's all, I ain't throwing the baby out with the bathwater, but you better be careful. He ain't on any of that stuff.
Amen.
Look, Brother Branham, Elvis sang some of the best hymns I ever heard in my life. You don't remember Brother Branham condoling and saying that's a good thing, did you? Because he looked at the source and said, don't eat of that filth.
That's right.
Look where it came from.
Amen.
And you watch people in this age, Brother Branham would have touched half of what people do today in the message.
That's true.
More than that, I'd say 90% of stuff that people do in the message today, Brother Branham wouldn't have nothing to do with it.
Amen.
Excuse me. So let's go there. I'm just going to keep going right through, if that's all right. Go back in the Garden of Eden. God commands His children by His word. You stay behind the word that I give you. Don't eat of that tree. Satan comes in the form of the serpent, as we know, as we read, or we could read it, but he was a beast. He was more subtle, which means he was smart. He was wise. He could reason. Anybody seen a snake on the ground come up and talk to you and start reasoning with you? Anybody had any animal come reason with you? It doesn't happen. Oh, they might get a chimpanzee to mimic them or a parrot to say some words. They're not reasoning. They're not going through a mental process like you and I do between good and evil and right and wrong. An animal don't know nothing of that. He said, well, my dog don't do that because he knows I'll spank him. That's it. That's all he knows. He don't know what's bad. He don't know what's good. He don't know none of that. All he knows is, I don't want to get whipped. I'm staying away from that.
Right.
Or if I do this little trick or something, I'll get a treat, right?
Right.
That's all they know. All they know is in and out. Mm-hmm. Nothing to do with right or wrong. That whole desire, that whole makeup is what the soul is in a man.
Uh-huh. Amen.
He can discern that between right and wrong. There's no such thing as morals to an animal. That doesn't exist. There's no. It's a higher level of thinking than an animal. And that's what separated a man from an animal.
Right.
And God intended it to be that way and to stay that way.
Amen.
Man was to be over animal. That's the way God set it up.
Sure.
Because God didn't make man in some image. Made him in His own.
Amen.
And if you look at heaven, it didn't matter how glorious all the angels were. They were so unholy compared to His holiness, they couldn't even look at God.
Right. Amen.
And God intended the same with His children. What it was His first commission to Adam? Go possess the world. Have dominion over it.
Amen.
Be like I am in heaven. You do it on earth because you're my son.
Amen. Right. Glory.
Aren't you glad the first thing He called Adam, which was the Son of God.
Amen.
Not Adam, which was the first man God created.
Uh-uh.
You see what I'm saying? There's a big difference there. It was literally an offspring of God.
Amen.
And if you have a duck, let's follow the laws of God. Now, if a duck has an offspring, guess what it is? It's a duck.
Amen.
That's why the evolution theory goes out the window pretty fast. It don't work that way. You start tainting with God's thing. Look what they're doing to it. Look at I think I heard they made a frog that glows in the dark. They took some gene out of something that'll glow in the dark and they put it in a frog and they did it. What good is it going to do for a frog to glow in the dark? Guess what? That's the first frog going to die.
Amen.
Isn't that right? You'd be out in the wild trying to hide. You ain't going to hide when you're glowing like a glow stick.
Uh-huh.
You're dead, buddy. And every time man tries to do that, even I heard this one argument that, you know, beneficial, these things, mutating things and stuff, that one was beneficial is seedless watermelons. The man said, who's benefiting from that? Maybe we are because we're a bunch of gluttons and we don't want to spit out some watermelon seeds because we're so lazy. We just want to ram it right in our face. But what happens if every watermelon becomes seedless? Guess what? We ain't got no more watermelons, do we? That ain't beneficial. That's stupid. And what did we find out later on? If we'd eat the seeds, we probably wouldn't get cancer. We wouldn't get diabetes. If we just eat what God made and quit messing with it, we'd be all right. And can we do that with the Word of God? Just take what God said, take what God has brought, what God has vindicated, and just eat it down. Don't dilute it. Don't take things out of it. Don't take all the seeds out. That's the Word. Eat those seeds. It's good for you.
Come on.
That's right. And every time, I tell you what, even in this age, eating right's becoming a miracle, ain't it? People are realizing, wow, I feel a lot better. Well, it ain't because that's the way we're supposed to feel. That's just normal, but we've been living so down here for so long, eating all this garbage that we eat. And I'm just talking on the physical realm right now. We forgot what it's like to even feel good all the time.
Right.
To not need 15 hours of sleep just to feel human. Going on 6 hours and popping coffee in the morning. Isn't that right? Isn't that this Laodicean age? And we think that that's what we're normally supposed to feel like. And what a little, that's what they think it's a miracle. Because they go eat just good food for a little while. And they're like, I feel great. I have energy. Now bring it to the spiritual. Ain't that the truth?
Yeah.
Amen. Somebody eating off some creed.
Yeah.
Eating off, well, if I do this and I just, you know, I make sure I pray this long at this time every day. And they base their whole experience off of that. And that should be a good thing. It should be nutritious. But you start warming it in with all this other stuff and you try to eat that, it ain't going to last you too long.
Right.
You're going to begin to think that the devil giving you headaches and pushing you around and telling you you're lost, that's just normal.
Right.
That's just the way, oh, it's just my cross to bear. It ain't no cross to bear.
Right.
The only cross we're supposed to bear is reproach.
Yes.
Do you understand that? Jesus delivered all that. When Paul talks of his infirmities, tell me where he talks of sickness.
Right.
Yes.
When does he talk about sickness? He talks about being on perils on the water and persecutions here and getting beat and all these things. When does he talk about sickness being an infirmity? And if he had any, he had one.
That's right.
And that's even debatable a little bit, but Paul's thorn in the flesh. Isn't that right? And guess what? Jesus made a personal conference to talk to him about that.
Right. Amen.
So if you're supposed to bear with something, I want to know the time when Jesus Christ showed up and talked to you about it and said, you need to have this the rest of your life. And on top of that, I need to speak with you for a little while because I want to know what kind of revelations you have that you need to be humbled.
Right.
Do we remember what Paul's thorn in the flesh was for? He said, lest I should be exalted for all the revelations that were given to me,
right.
I was given a thorn in the flesh.
Sure.
Right.
Amen.
Let's go ahead and throw that corn. I mean, I'll tell you why. So many people got thorns in the flesh. I'm like, what are you talking about? I can find one time a man had one. And you're telling me we all got them. And it's not even a physical ailment anymore. It'll be like, my thorn in the flesh is lust. What are you talking about? You just must need to be born again.
Right.
My thorn in the flesh is drinking and smoking. What? No. Satan's got you twisted.
Amen.
To make you think you have to be captive to the devil because he took a scripture and twisted it around. And that's exactly what he's done from the beginning.
Right, amen.
I ain't getting nowhere, but I hope you're getting fed today. Is that all right?
Amen.
We know what happened. They brought that Satan, that old slicker, was in that serpent. We know it was a man-like creature. He could talk, he could reason, he stood upright. Because when he was cursed, and I'm just going to paraphrase some of that if that's all right. When he was cursed, God said, to your belly you'll go. Well, that wouldn't make no sense if he was already on his belly, would he? You can't curse me to be 6'6".
Right.
I am.
Right.
Right? You can't curse me to have a blue shirt on. I got a blue shirt on. A curse would be something contrary to what I am right now.
Amen.
And it would change from what I am now. So that's what happened. This creature became what we know as a snake today. Because of the curse, because of what he had done, God cursed him to the ground. He said, on your belly you'll go. But before that, it was very tempting. Because Satan knows how to talk just the way your flesh wants to hear it.
Amen.
He knew what to tell Eve. And the first thing he recognized, he got Eve when Adam was a little busy doing something else.
Right.
And he'll do that with you and I. If we leave the presence of God, guess who's the first one to show at the door?
Yes.
Will be Satan.
Yes.
sir.
He's just waiting on it too. He's just, if you'll keep him sealed out by the Holy Ghost, he can't get in. Let's just settle that right now.
All right.
Satan can't get into the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Because if he could, he'd be you and I's brother. And he'd have to repent and get baptized, same as you and I did, and he ain't gonna do it.
Right.
So what does he do? He stands right outside that door. And he whispers things to you. Don't you want to skip church and watch football? Is that all right, brothers? Can I say that?
Right.
These sisters, don't you just hate those split ends? Wouldn't it be nice for that just to be nice and flat across? You know he says it. Don't you think you look a little bit more flattering in this? And he whispers from the outside. And as long as you stay in there, look, that ain't a sin that Satan tempts you.
Right.
Did you hear me?
Right.
Satan tempted Jesus. Never, Jesus right. didn't sin.
Right.
It's when you give to temptation.
Right.
It's when you hear him, and instead of just saying, Satan, get thee behind me, and walking back in the house, you go, you don't have to throw the door open either. You just crack it.
Right.
You just unlock it. He knows how to twist the handle, don't he? He knows what buttons to push in your life. If you'll just unlock it,
yeah,
he'll get right in there. And that's all he did to Eve. That's all it was. He stuck with the word 99%, didn't he? Said, I know what the Lord God has said. I've studied the scriptures. I'm a religious man. We serve God the same as you and Adam do. Adam and Adam. He said, I know what the Lord God has said. He said you can eat of all the trees. But what he didn't tell you, you know, the better word than what God gave you. The little part that God left out because he's just mean and he don't want you to know.
All right.
But I got it. See, that's how he talks. He's got that little nugget of something that sounds a little bit better than what God has for you.
Yeah.
And all it was if you'll eat this, you'll be as wise as God. You'll become gods. And look how deceptive he was, because they already were.
Right.
You see how he did that? He told them what they were, but twisted it just enough that he could interject it and destroy what they were.
Right.
And he's done the same in the message hour. How many times we heard sermons, you're the bride of Christ. You're predestined from the foundation of the world. And you're telling that to a bunch of people that'll walk out there and stab one another.
Sure.
Telling that to a bunch of people that will. They'll skip church to watch Super Bowl. Okay, go to Sunday night service. That's when the Super Bowl's on. Isn't that right? You know, if I just have one beer here and, you know, it's with some buddies, that's all right. God sees all that.
Amen.
And that's what Israel didn't get away with. They thought, God don't see this, it's in secret. Nobody. God saw every time they did one of those things. And we're just accountable right now. And I ain't talking, maybe you don't do those sinful things. Praise God, if you're born again, you won't touch that stuff. But Satan can still get you to disbelieve things.
Right.
And that's what we know. We broke down sin. That's what it is. It's just disbelieving God's word. Because the second you disbelieve the word, you believe something that Satan has.
Amen.
And that could come in the form of sickness. That could come in the form of depression. That could come in the form of anything contrary to the word of God.
Sure.
And that's exactly what the sermon did to Eve. Now, what happened after this? And this is where I want to read. Verse 7 again, 3:7. Now, stay with me, please. I'll try to go fast. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. I started at verse 8. My fault. I didn't mean to do that. Amongst the trees of the garden. Verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And it's never changed.
That's right.
Man never turned around and sought God. God was seeking man from the beginning.
Yeah.
Right.
Verse 10. Speaking of Adam now. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. And I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And here comes the old blame game, ain't it? Instead of just doing what he should have done, was saying, yes, Father, I'm sorry.
Amen.
I did what I was supposed to do. I'm sorry. Forgive me, please. We wouldn't have had no more Bible. That'd have been it.
No, that's true.
But instead, he blamed it on something else. Don't you be that kind of Christian either. Look, if you ain't successful in Christ, if you're depressed, if you're sick, if you're feeling down, don't be pointing around, it's this brother's fault, that brother's fault, they done this, they did. It has nothing to do with that, it's you.
That's right, yeah. That's right.
It's you. And if every Christian would do that, I think we'd stop killing one another, don't you think?
Amen.
We just stop trying to be everybody else's Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And just talk to the Holy Ghost in us.
Amen.
Be all right.
Glory.
That same song that says, you talk about me all you please, I'll talk about you when I'm on my knees.
Amen. Right.
Let's go ahead and take that one home. Is that all right?
Yes.
Not in one ear, out the other. Let's go ahead and let that drop in the heart and take that home.
Yes.
You see somebody doing wrong, I understand there's a time and place, but it better be the Holy Ghost on both ends to take care of that thing.
Right.
Because if you try to do it in your own strength, you're going to make a mess out of it.
Sure.
Because you don't know, but God does. He knows where people are at. He knows. Aren't you glad you heard the things from God when you needed to hear them? And not ahead, not before, not right on time. You begin to hear the truth. And God knew because your heart was seasoned for it.
Amen.
What good is the word of God if there's no ground for it to go into? You had to be seasoned for that.
Amen.
And you and I as Christians, we better be walking in the Spirit, especially when it comes to dealing with one another. Because we're humans. We don't like things. We like our things. We like our ways. Every man's right in his own eyes.
That's true.
But if you get in the Spirit of God, you begin to realize, I don't care what I like. I love.
Amen.
And then it don't matter. It don't matter the way Brother John wears his hair. It don't matter. That's all right. You know? I don't think you should be pushing it over that way and come up with some kind of quote and bring this scripture up and make a big doctrine out of it. But churches have split over stuff like that. Do you understand this?
Yeah.
People do that with Christmas, don't they?
Yeah.
They'll go one way or the other. Either it's, let's just go ahead and throw Santa right in the church service. Or they go the other way and go, you got Christmas tinsel? You sure you're born again?
Yeah.
Ain't neither one of them right. Look, I don't mind them setting a day aside to celebrate the birth of the Lord.
That's right.
Ain't the right day. I understand that. I ain't gonna hoopraw all these gifts above Christ. If you're doing that, yeah, you're wrong. Yeah. You're wrong. We shouldn't worship anything over Christ.
Amen.
If you turn Christmas into a bunch of materialism, you're just as bad as all them Black Friday people out there killing one another. You're doing the same thing.
Sure.
But if you want to give gifts to one another, I don't think that's wrong. I think if you love one another, we should do nice things for each other. And just because we pick a season to do that, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Check your heart. What happens on Christmas Day? Do you even talk about Jesus Christ?
Come on.
Do you see how we need to balance this out in our experience? And yeah, you know what? Maybe I can't have a Christmas tree in my house because I just love the thing and I'll just look at it and I'll just get absorbed in it or whatever and I'll get into the spirit of the world spirit of Christmas. Maybe I can't handle it. That's all right. The Bible already dealt with that, didn't it? It said, then you get rid of it.
Right.
And we should be respectful to one another. If I know some brother don't like Christmas, you know what? I'm just going to get rid of my stuff. That's all right. Can I love him that much? Do you understand? I ain't doing it because I'm afraid to offend him. I'm doing it because I love him.
Amen.
That's what Paul told us to do. He says, if my meat offends a brother, I won't eat.
Right.
We don't like that, do we? He's like, well, I'm more spiritual. I can handle it. I don't care. Maybe they can't. Why don't you live for others and not yourself?
Amen.
I hope that's all right. And Christmas is just one of them things. I could go all kinds of different tangents of stuff like that. Let's just teach it the way the prophet taught it.
Yeah,
there'll be times he blasts Christmas because of what people did with it.
That's right.
People skip church and I hope that's all right. But this year Christmas is on Wednesday. I hope this is okay, but I'm planning on having church that night.
Yes.
Is that okay?
Yes.
I mean, I understand family time and things, but I want family time.
Yes.
Amen.
You're my family.
Amen.
I really believe that. I believe I'll spend all eternity with y'all.
Sure.
Right.
And I believe my natural family will as well. But even not so, I believe that being with the children of God is more important than that.
Amen.
Right.
Your old flesh don't like that always, but hey, it's the truth nonetheless.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. We ain't getting nowhere, are we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Goodness. Verse 11. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. Look how bad he got so fast. Not only is it the woman's fault, but it's the woman God gave him.
Right.
So he even took, he got so ashamed, he took his blame and threw it back on God.
Uh-huh.
Come on, God, if you're knowing the right kind of wife, why'd you give me this one?
Right.
Brothers, you better not be praying the same thing. Man, God, didn't you know me? What kind of woman is this? The one you need. Remember what God's prophet said about Moses, right? He said he's a hot-tempered prophet. So he gave him a hot-tempered wife to help him out. Old Zipporah, that one time when his son wasn't circumcised and he would have died had Zipporah not circumcised him. And she, think of this now. This is the truth of the word. She took the foreskin and threw it at Moses. He said, you're a bloody man to me. I think Moses might have read back and said, you know what? I was wrong. I'll just let it go. Instead of doing what Adam did and said, you woman, and just let her have it. That ain't a healthy relationship, is it?
Right.
Look, and I'll say this again. I think I said it Sunday, but if somebody wins an argument in the family, nobody won.
That's right.
Because you just caused division.
Right.
Nobody wins. You shouldn't go into any sort of disagreement trying to win. It should be going trying to bring everybody back together.
Amen.
Right.
Is that all right? Amen. And then it didn't stop with her, did it? It didn't stop with Adam with the blame game, verse 13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. So she played the old blame game too. Can't fuss up either. Verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle. Anybody think a snake would be considered cattle in any sort of lingo whatsoever? No. He was a beast, like a cow would have been, or anything else. Things that were on land and could walk around. Except we know he was a two-legged man. He was a man that could reason, etc. Okay.
Sure.
Cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity. Enmity is hate. I will put hate between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. People tell me there ain't no such thing as serpent seed. It just said he had a seed.
Yeah.
And look how they'll take half the scripture and leave the other half out. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And what will every denomination tell you? That's Christ. It's Christ, the seed of the woman, that'll come and bruise the head of the serpent. Oh, you'll say her seed was a man, but what about his seed? Where did Christ come through? Came through Eve, down to Seth, so on all the way down,
yeah.
Until it finally got to Jesus Christ.
Right.
And you can watch Cain line all the way down. And who did it land up at? Judas. And that line, they kept going, and eventually it'll wind up until Satan himself standing on earth. That's what the Antichrist will be. It'll be the same, that same serpent that started, Satan coming into a being, that doesn't have a soul, I believe it'll be the exact same at the end. Maybe I'm the only one. Is that all right? I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply. And what does multiply mean? If you have one, now you have two, and you have four, and you multiply it. What happens when you multiply zero? I can have all, look at all this zero I have here. You all see it?
Uh-huh.
Now I'm going to double that.
Still zero.
I'm going to double that again.
Zero.
I still got nothing. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Now you know why multiplying by zero gives you zero every time. That ain't got math in my lesson. That's all right. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply. Look what he multiplies. Thy sorrow. So she had sorrow. We all believe that, right? She knew what had happened. He will multiply that.
Uh-huh.
And thy conception. What does conception mean? She was expecting. And we all know what happens to know that you're expecting. Back in the garden, they didn't eat off no fancy tree. That was adultery. It took place in the garden. She had been impregnated by two men at the same time. One was a serpent, one was Adam. One was the woman's seed, a seed appointed to her. We'll get to that in a minute. It was given to her. She didn't have one of her own. She was given a seed through Adam. A one that was the serpent seed himself. So she had to have been pregnant at this time. It doesn't officially say that Adam knew of Eve until Genesis 4:1, which goes back and shows you what really happened in the garden. I hope this is clear to everyone. There was no magical tree. They committed adultery, and it produced two seeds.
Yeah.
And we're going to get back to where we started, hopefully, here soon. Let's just go ahead and flip there then. Let's just go over there. Go to Genesis 4. Let's skip through some of this. Genesis 4. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. We all know what that... What it means is that God is the only author of life. Even perverted life, it would not exist without the power of God. Satan can't create anything. He only can take what God has and pervert it.
Amen.
And he's still given no credit for it.
Right.
It still came because God is the one that created it first. Even his own existence, Satan couldn't create it himself. God had to create him. And can you realize that your enemy is right there in the palm of God's hand? And at any time he wants to squash him, he can. Anytime he wants to take his hands off, he can. Anytime he wants to allow him, he can. What does it take from you and I? Exactly what we'll get to in a minute, what Abel had. Faith in God. That's what will get you through every trial, is that God is in complete control of my situation. God is over everything, including that old rotten devil that I think can push me around. He can't.
Amen.
Can you picture yourself as Job now, where you're living righteously, you're doing everything right, and God wants to show you off?
Amen.
So, what does he let Satan do? Take your kids. Take your cattle. Take your life. Everything. Give you covered boils head to toe. To where you're out scraping them off with a potsherd. That's what he was doing. He's putting ashes on it to try to get it to stop. Because, just because God wanted to show what was really in Job. We don't like that, do we? Lord, I'll take a few trials, but do I have to have that many? Can I get in with a little bit less? The faith in you should matter.
Right.
Do we have to go through that? I don't know. I don't know what we'll have to go through. But when it gets down to the rubber meets the road, I am not leaving the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. Even to when Job had hit rock bottom, what did his wife say? Curse God and die. What did Job say? You speak like. You're not a foolish woman. I know you're just upset. Brothers, come on. Let's treat our wives that way. It's all right. They'll get upset. That's okay. They don't mean they're like the world. They know it's just getting worked up.
Right.
Yeah.
And he said, you speak like a foolish woman. The Lord gives. The Lord takes away. Blessed be his name.
Yeah, right.
And that should be the attitude of every Christian. No matter what comes, what goes, throw your hands up. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We've all had those things that have come through that are just harder than you thought you could bear. But if you're really a Christian, there's something on here. There's something that raises you up and you say, I don't care, Satan. You're not getting the glory. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
The Lord gave. The Lord takes away. Blessed be his name.
Yes.
And God will get the glory out of this somehow.
Amen.
Amen. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. The only time you ever see the Bible say something like this, it shows that they were born at the same time. If it wasn't the case, it would have said, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, again, and bared Abel. It didn't say that. It said he knew her one time, and there was Cain born, and then Abel. It even shows you it's the right order. Satan and the serpent met Eve first. That produced Cain, and Cain came first. Adam knew Eve, his wife, as well. That he did the same action the serpent had done with Eve, produced an Abel. Came right after, the same time, boom, boom. And for the longest time, they didn't think that that was physically possible, but it is.
Yes, right.
A woman can do that. She can be impregnated one time and be impregnated by another man right after that and have both the children at the same time. They've already had that one. They had a black and white baby at the same time, and we don't need the genetic code to figure out that don't happen by one man.
Right.
And if that wasn't enough, let's break this down. Look at how different these boys are that come from the same household. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Right there. They don't even do the same thing at all. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof. And what that means is he brought the fat, which means he had to cut this animal open to get the fat out of it. He killed this animal. Excuse me. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Look what these boys bring. And I can show you what Brother Bram talks about. Both very religious. Both believe in the same God. You don't see Cain bowing down to Allah somewhere, a Buddha. He was bowing down to the same God. He gave him reverence. He paid his tithes. He went to church. He looked like everybody else. He read his Bible. He did everything that looked like Christianity.
Sure.
What was the difference? He lacked something. And Abel had it.
Uh-huh.
Cain brought a nice altar. Remember, it was in the process of time, so it was probably, they were probably growing up a little bit here. Brought a nice altar, and he put the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. Look, that's not accepted. Why? Because when you bring an offering to the Lord, it has to match the debt you are to the Lord.
Amen.
Do you understand? And if had it been fruit in the garden, had they eaten of the wrong fruit, why would his offering not have been accepted? Fruit matches fruit. And it shows you he was a carnal believer. He knew the letter of the word.
Uh-huh.
He knew that they ate of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Oh, they ate a fruit, I'll go get some.
Right.
And he wasn't a hypocrite about it. I'm sure it was nice. I'm sure it was covered. I'm sure he brought the best he had.
Amen.
Put it all on there. And at least he had enough connection with God to know that God wasn't pleased with him. A lot of Christians these days don't even got that kind of connection with God. They think they just go on snowballing the wrong thing over and over again and not realize the presence of the Lord ain't there.
Right.
And what happens, they get like Samson was, wasn't it? Well, we get a little success here. We're getting a little victory here. But never realize that the whole time Satan's breaking him down. Breaking him down. Breaking him down. What do? Kill him.
Amen.
But what did Abel bring? Abel took one of his lambs. It said the first lamb. Brought it out there. Remember, they didn't have fancy tools just yet. At least Abel didn't. Maybe Cain did, but Abel didn't. Found some sharp rocks somewhere. And if you ever kill an animal like that, you better be ready. You better not be squeamish. The thing's going to try to live. Everything's trying to live. Nothing's trying to die. Everything's trying to live. And as he began to cut it, it began to break through, and this little lamb began to kick and scream for its life. We would have thought, just picture yourself being there now. In any carnal sense, you'd be like, my, Cain, that looks really nice. Abel, it's kind of gross, man. That's filthy. And people do that in this day. How many wants to accept Jesus into their heart? You're a Christian. Come to the church, be a good person. They don't want the person that, God have mercy on me, a sinner, that hits the ground and just sobs and tears and cries and pulls their hair and says, God have mercy on me, I've been wrong. Save me from my sins. They don't want that in this day, do they? They just want a cold foam. Yeah, I accept Jesus. If you accept Jesus like that, you ain't accept Jesus just yet. You might have thought you did, but you're in the same boat Cain was. There ain't no such thing as a dry-eyed confession.
Never.
There's no such thing as not breaking down to get built back up. If you haven't broke down, you still live. Christ don't live yet.
Amen.
You must be broke down, and not just broke down, but die and rot.
Amen.
You must be born again. And it would have been one thing for this to happen. And they were in the same boat Adam and Eve was in the beginning. They known they'd done wrong. Cain knew he had done wrong because God didn't accept him, but he accepted Abel. Verse 6. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. What's the Lord telling Cain? Can't you see what I accepted? It's just right there. It's in plain view. You can see it right there. Just do that. But if you don't, sin's over there. It shows you God wasn't trying to destroy Cain. He was showing him, look, if you don't do this, sin will destroy you. And on top of it, look, God so desired Cain to not destroy himself. He said, if you'll just do this, not only will I accept you, I will make you Abel's ruler.
Right.
Just to prove that God did everything he could. It was Cain's fault. Read the next verse. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. So if God couldn't convince them, look what happened. Even Abel put an effort. Say, Cain, please do what God has shown me. And he didn't like that.
Right.
Because Cain couldn't just come up to the word. He wanted to be the one that got it first.
Right.
He couldn't humble himself to his little brother and say, you know what? He must have heard from God. I must have missed something. Because look at the results of this. And men have died and gone to hell because of pride more than anything I can think of.
Right.
Well, if God really loved me, he would have shown me that before he showed that, holy ruler person. Look, if they got the word of the Lord, they got the word of the Lord. Some of you might think of that about me. I understand. I'm only 27 years old. And some of you have been serving the Lord longer than I've been alive. I understand that it's hard to receive something from a person in that sort of situation. Imagine being my dad sitting right here, and he's watched me grow up and watch all the mistakes. But look, you have to get higher than that. It's not me. It wasn't Abel. It was God's revelation. It was God showing that to Abel. And what was God's intention? To save the human race. Not just Abel, Cain. Anyone that would receive it, that was his goal, was to save all the world. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Look at that arrogancy. Where'd that come from? That didn't come from Adam. That didn't come from the Son of God. That came from the devil.
Amen.
That's how the devil talked to God when it was about Job, wasn't it? He said, if you consider my servant Job, he's like, yeah, you got him hedged all up. No wonder I can't get to him. There wasn't no respect there because the devil don't respect God. Neither does his children. And that's what Cain, it just proves what he was. You see, there's just no getting away from this. He had to have been the son of the serpent.
Sure.
And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. People think they can just kill it off and it'll just stop. The devil thought he could do that with Christ. He didn't think, I'll just kill him and it's over. The blood's the life.
Yeah.
Out of the blood spoke. And what did it speak here? Remember, we'll get to that later, that the blood of Christ speaks better things than what the blood of Abel did, because the blood of Abel spoke vengeance.
Right. Yeah.
He killed me because God was hearing that. He knew, what have you done, Cain? Why? He wanted Cain to confess so he could forgive him. But Cain wouldn't do it.
Right.
So God knew what he had done. He said, I can hear his voice saying, judgment. An eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, kill him.
Uh-huh.
And what did Cain say? We could read that. Cain said, my punishment's more than I can bear because any man that'll find me will kill me.
Right.
Because they can hear the same voice of God coming out. And that's why God protected him.
Right.
Said, if anybody kills him, you'll be killed sevenfold. But the blood of Christ, I pray you've heard from the blood of Christ that it doesn't speak judgment. Because if it did, you'd still go to hell.
Amen.
Because why did he die on the cross? It wasn't a Roman that did it. It wasn't a Jew that did it. I did it.
Right.
Yep. He walked up on that cross and died because of my sin. I'm guilty. But the blood of Christ speaks better things.
Right.
It doesn't speak, you're judged. It speaks, you're forgiven.
Amen.
It speaks, I know what you've done, but I've washed it away.
Amen.
In my own blood. My blood has spoke better things than what judgment was back in the beginning.
Amen.
It spoke redemption.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Now the Bible, as we said there in Genesis 4:1, said that Adam knew Eve. Look at the next time it finally says that. It's in verse 25. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, again. There you go. The second time. Knew Eve, his wife, again. And she bare a son and called his name Seth. Look why she called him Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. Why does she need another seed if Cain's already the seed?
Right.
Yeah.
It goes to prove, by this time she had finally figured it out. That wasn't a man from the Lord, that was a man from my disobedience.
Mm-hmm.
A man from the Lord was Abel. And Cain has slew him, but God has appointed me another seed. And if you watch, what happened the second Seth came on the line? Read that in the next verse. And to Seth and to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. It begins, you see how it shows that was the true lines of the sons of God.
Right.
Because they began to call on the name of the Lord. Cain had forsaken him, and his children would have followed right in suit. And they could have come back, but the nature within them wouldn't let them do that. And you and I should be so happy that when you approach the Word of God, when you approach even sin in your own life, you don't have that response. You have a heart of repentance that Cain could not do.
Amen.
Esau had the same problem, didn't he? He saw repentance with tears, and he couldn't find it.
Amen.
And what happened? God was able to say, I hate Esau. And Jacob, a man that we know was just a terrible man, a shyster, a stealer, or a thief, a robber. But because of his faith, because he believed God, because he wasn't trying to save himself, and he met God one-on-one, he received a name change.
Amen.
Israel, a prince with God. And have you received your name change, or are you still you? Are you still you? Are you still a sinner? Are you still trying to get saved? Or has something changed your name? That you're no longer what you are, but you are in Christ. Yeah. Called by His name. Restored back to the Garden of Eden.
Amen.
To where when you called, when you saw Adam and you saw Eve, you just said Adam and everybody turned.
Amen.
And this last day, the word was given to us that when we hear the name Jesus Christ, something on the inside of us responds and we turn and say, what do you want?
Amen.
Why did baptism have to be restored? Your name's not the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you heard that, something on the inside responded to that name. Mrs. Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Was finding Mr. Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Called by the same name. Back to being one. Back to the Garden of Eden. Where they could walk in the presence of the Lord. Free of any conscience of sins. So powerful is the Holy Ghost that a man can look at a woman completely stripped and not lust.
Sure.
Say, how is that? Remember when Brother Branham saw the vision? He said, I saw them women. They have nothing but a fig leaf for him. I think he lusted after them women in that vision. He was in a whole different realm at that point.
Amen.
Your flesh will, but I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about getting out to what we were before the fall ever happened.
Amen.
Brother Bram, when he crossed the curtain of time, he wasn't worried about shaking hands with no sisters. What did he do? Looked him right up into his arms. He said, my, I never taught that back there, but over there, it's not the same.
Amen.
They were all perfectly 100% my sisters.
Amen.
And aren't you hungering for that? Hungering for that kind of real fellowship where you know there's never going to be a jealousy. There's never going to be an anger. There's never going to be a skirmish. We all just love one another.
Amen.
We all can just be open. We don't have to play games with our words. We don't have to watch what we say around this. We can just flow out the presence of the Lord to each other back and forth because that's where we all came from.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And if you're not living for that, what are you living for? What's there to live for? This world's falling apart all around us. Take all your confidence at that. Take all your faith off the things of the world and put it into Christ. The time is short.
Amen.
I'm going to read a quote if that's all right. Hearing, recognizing, and acting on the Word of God, 1960. But look, the church natural, it's just the church carnal. They're never able to get above that little thing of, I join church. Listen closely now. They're never able to get above this thought. I join church. If I go to church, if I do the best I can, that's all God requires. Now that's the same thing Cain done. So if that's all your Christianity is, I go to church, I'm with the church, I'm doing the best I know how. You're just as good as Cain. He went and made an altar. He made a sacrifice. He brought the fruits of the land and he said, here it is, God. That's the best I got. Take it or leave it. That's the way the carnal believer believes today. Lord, I'll go to church. I'll join the best group that I can find. I'll pay in my dues to the church. I'll do what's right. Now, here's the best I can do. I'll help you buy some coal for the widow, or I'll give the children some clothing. That's all right, nothing to say against it, but that's it, that's all. If you want it, take it. If you don't, you don't have to. Now that's the attitude of the church carnal today. But the church spiritual, able by revelation, by grace, he's seen beyond that. He's seen beyond just ritual. He didn't come to God in a ritual. He came with life.
Amen.
And able by revelation, by grace, he seen beyond that. And by faith, he offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And it testified of his righteousness. The same thing took place in Ishmael and Isaac. One was of the flesh, the other one was of the spirit. One of the bondwoman and one of the free woman. It happened the same thing in Israel and Moab. Two great churches coming together. When Israel was wanting to go to their promised land, church spiritual, Jacob's people, Israel on the road, Esau's people met them, Moab, church powerful. And the great leader of the church, Balaam, came down to curse his brother, but he found that he could not curse his brother. He failed with the blindness of his eyes to see that predestinated plan and to see the word of God. First, faith cometh by hearing, hearing of the word of God. Then the believer hears it, recognizes it, and acts on it.
Amen.
The carnal man will hear it, the sound of it, but never. Hear means to understand it. Look at it. It's looking at something, but to see it is to understand it. Except a man be born again, he cannot see or understand the kingdom of God. I want to read that one verse one last time. Hebrews 11, and just verse 4. Sorry to go this long, especially on a Wednesday, but let the Lord have His way. Is that all right tonight? Yeah. Hebrews 11, 4. By faith, and Brother Bram says, faith is a revelation. It's one and the same. God came to him and showed him what really happened in the garden, so he knew by faith now what to offer to God.
Sure.
He saw the blood corruption. He saw the human blood being corrupted with an animal, so he knew it took blood to pay it back. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous.
Amen.
Did he earn being righteous? Not at all. It was a witness back to him that he was righteous, because God no longer looked at Abel and his faults. He looked at the blood. Yeah. And when God looks through your red sin, through the red blood, he sees pure white.
Amen.
And how do we obtain witness that we're righteous? You receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The same Spirit that dwelt in Christ and that holy vessel can now come into you and I, because the atonement was made. And God doesn't see my red sins as red as crimson. He made it white as snow.
Amen.
And He gives me a witness that I'm a part of this.
Yes.
Purely by grace. Through faith.
Amen.
By which He obtained witness that He was righteous. Look who testified. God testifying of His gifts. And by it, by that testimony, He being dead, yet speaks. And we think that this message is going to fall short. We think, oh, it's just getting too corrupt. There's too many people falling away. They can try all they want to. The more they try to kill it, the more it will live. The more they try to persecute Christians, what happened? It was like kicking a wildfire. You just made more fire.
Amen.
How many wants to be on fire for God tonight?
Yes.
Amen. Let's stand together. Hearing, recognizing, acting on the Word of God. Let me read one quote. Do not try to impersonate. That's what's the matter with Pentecost today. That's what's the matter with the church today. There's too many trying to impersonate. They got the Holy Ghost. If you've got a fake, you've got the Holy Ghost. You don't have it yet. It should be normal. It should be who you are. There's too many trying to impersonate divine healing. There's too many trying to impersonate different things of the Lord. You can't do that. Those things come by election.
Amen.
God's calling. You are dropped from the mother's womb with that. Gifts and callings are without repentance. Oh my, that's true. You can't make yourself something you're not. But if God calls you, be the most thankful person in the world because He has called you. Then it becomes real to you. And that's what I say tonight. If you're looking for me to do something to get you into the rapture, if you're looking for me to say something that'll prepare you, you will not make it. But if you can get past that and realize that God has called you, God has spoke out your name and said, I have elected you for this time, then you can rest. Then you can be just like Abel and not worry about it. You've already heard from the voice of God. And God accepts what you brought. And the only thing we can bring in worship is the Holy Ghost. Because that is the blood of Christ made manifest in our lives. Is the Spirit of God in us acting out. I hope this ain't too boring to you. But I believe it's everything our souls hinge on.
Right.
I have no faith in anything I've ever done. I have faith in what God did to me. I could have said all day, I'm a Christian, I believe, I'm born again, I've made my confession. But until God took my heart, the stony, rotten, selfish heart I had, and He took it and He molded it into something that resembles Him, the most glorious thing I could ever think of. They may think of something more glorious than being like Jesus. That's all I desire to be. And the fact that God did that to me gives me faith that I'm going to make it.
Right.
It's by faith we're going to make this thing. Don't change it. Believe with all your heart now. Let's bow our heads together. And again, seek the Lord. This is between you and Him. I know I went a little bit longer, and again, as a man, I apologize. I didn't want to do that. But look, let the Spirit of God dwell in every fiber of your being. Are you doubting the Word in any way, shape, or form? This ain't a church thing. It's between you and Him now. Do you have the revelation of the hour? Or does some man have to give it to you week in, week in, week out? Or do you have it? If somebody needs healing, do you have to go call somebody to get it done? Or is there someone in you that can do it? Hallelujah. When you're looking for joy and peace, is it from the outside or is there something within rises up and takes control? And as we reverence His presence, if you don't find yourself in that condition, it's all right. Just do what Adam should have done. Do what Cain should have done. Lord, I'm sorry that I've disbelieved your word. Forgive me. Try me again and make me right with you. Is there any person here that would be like that? Who would want to raise your hands to the Lord Jesus and saying, God, I'm totally helpless. Would you change me so I don't have to get back on Satan's little hamster wheel and just condemnation and back and forth and sickness and depression and just on and on and on. But I can be delivered and free in Christ. I ain't trying to bring you all to that place, but if you're that person, don't leave this service that way. I beg you, the blood of Christ has atoned for all of your mistakes. Let Him come in. Let Him change and mold you. Those of you that are Christians, and you just know God's not getting the glory out of my life like He ought to. I believe He can restore you right now. Now you'll walk out of here knowing that Satan ain't got a foot in your life. But these signs shall follow me because I believe. Is there any person that would raise your hand to the Lord saying, Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Restore unto me the power of God. Look, if you have a day in the past that's more spiritual than right now, you're backslid. The Christian experience is only up. It never goes back down. It's just up, 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 up. It's just higher and higher. More glory, more power. More leaving the things of the world and living in the things of God. I feel led to give the Lord some time to work on your heart. You pray any way you want to. Don't worry about your neighbor. You ain't talking to them. You're talking to Jesus Christ. Don't be all cold and formal either. If you're going to ask something, ask. If you mean it with all your heart, say it like you mean it with all your heart. This is life and death. We have to know where we stand in God's presence. I have to know where I stand in God's presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I trust you feel His presence here, and I believe He's wooing over our hearts, saying, come up higher. Just come up higher. I've got so much more I want to do through you. Just yield to me, the Lord says. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid to yield to Him either. If He wants to do something through you, go ahead and let Him. If He wants to worship through you, He wants to praise through you, if He wants to speak through you, go ahead and let it. He'll do exceeding abundantly anything more than we could ask or think. Let's pray together and just give Him all praise. Everybody submit yourselves to God. Heavenly Father, thank You for this opportunity again to approach this Word. And we're so grateful, Lord, that we can go all the way back to Genesis and tie it all the way to Revelations, Lord, that there's not a doubt in our minds that You have restored to us the Word of God and its purity. Lord, that we don't want to be found on the outside looking in. We want to be on the inside sealed in. Lord, that there ain't no windows even to look out anymore. I pray for every soul that's here. May you birth Christ in every heart. Lord, that when the things of the world comes, all the desires are dead, and only the desire to serve God lives. Oh, we thank you for the revelation of this day, that we're not walking blind, not walking into an ecumenical move that'll send us right into the pits of hell, but Lord, you've delivered us from that. Lord, help us to have thankful hearts. That Lord, if it wasn't for your voice crying out to us, and if it wasn't for some predestining our heart to respond, we wouldn't have had a chance. But we're thankful to know, and not even to guess, but to know, Lord, that you predestinated us. You predestinated this work of grace. And we accept it purely by faith today. Lord, I pray again for the congregation. If it's just one heart here that's still cold towards you, may they soften up and let you dwell in their heart. May you take out the stony heart and put in a heart of flesh.
Oh, yeah.
Equip every Christian, I pray, in Jesus Christ's name, that wherever they are, Lord, there will be testimony that on this night you restore to them the joy of their faith. Lord, and wherever they go, it just rolls out the virtue and power of God to prove that in this dying world that there's still one source of life, and that's you, Lord. Prove in every heart that's baptized with the Holy Ghost that Jesus Christ is the same today in them as he was when he walked the shores of Galilee. Commit the word into your hands, Lord. I've done all I know as a man. I can't do any more but say what you said, Lord. But I know that your predestinated plan will work out just right every time. Commit our hearts to you. Help us, Lord, and be with us, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. And believe it so. Amen. Amen. Sing it now.
Sing grace
with all your heart.
A sound that saved a wretch like me.
Sing it to the Lord God. Let's sing that amazing grace again. Oh, is it amazing to you tonight? Oh, with all your heart. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
How sweet.
Oh, thank you, Lord God.
Jesus.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
And there can't bow.
God, praise God. Every hand raised, everyone worshiping with everything within you.
Praise God, praise God.
Let's just give him a hand clap of praise. Let's just give him a worship and adoration. Love on him now. Love on him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, just worship and thank him for a little while. Oh, praise. Thank you so much, Lord. Your praise,
glory to God.
The revelation,
Lord. Is wonderful.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Aren't you happy to have such a wonderful God?
Yes.
Aren't you happy Jesus Christ ain't like Zeus or Allah, or that you just kill you if you don't do something. But it's Jesus. That one that just loves like no one else. The one that just has so much grace and power all wrapped up in one person. And he came down from eternity to talk to me. I pray that's real to you tonight. I know I can't do it. Only God can show that to you personally. But we should be the happiest people that's ever walked the face of this earth. To know that before I had a chance in the matter, God predestinated me. Before I could love God, the Bible says he loved me.
That's right.
And if he wouldn't have loved me, how in the world would I have ever loved him back? Hallelujah. I don't want to leave sad. I believe as Christians we should be grateful and happy for what he's done for us.
Amen.
And it does. It just stirs your heart when you can really just look him in the eyes and go, Lord, why did you do that for me? Why do you do this for me? I don't deserve that. He just keeps rolling the love on, rolling the love on, rolling the love on. I'm just happy to be a Christian. How many is a new creation in Christ Jesus?
Yes.
Let's go ahead and sing that. I'll let Dad take over from here. I don't got no more voice, so... If you've got to go tonight, I understand. God bless you. Thank you for your patience. Let's sing that together.
I'm a new creation.
264, if you don't know it. 264.
I'm a brand new man.
Oh.